where we talk about shameful self-promotion based on the passage in Luke 14, 7 through 11. So if you look at Luke 14 in your Bibles, verse 7, Luke 14 is a chapter on discipleship. Jesus has been invited to a Pharisee's house, we're told. A very prominent Pharisee. So think of whoever you know that's important, real important, that big house, and they invite you to dinner. But these people don't like you, and so they're watching to see if you're going to mess up. So that's the situation that Jesus finds himself in. There was a man who had dropsy in front of him, and Jesus asked a question. He said, is it better to do good on the Sabbath? Do the laws of the Sabbath prohibit us from doing what is right? He says, how many of you having a child or an animal, a pet that would fall into a hole, would you not pull him out on Sunday, on the Sabbath, Saturday, Friday night to Saturday night? How much more should I heal this man? What can you say? Religious laws are not as important as doing what is right and just and fair. And then he noticed how people that came to this dinner chose the seats of honor. Now, at a very prominent dinner, you have the honored guests sitting in front, and then the seats accordingly. If you think of a wedding, you always have the bride and the groom, then the attendants, maybe the parents, depending on how fancy we want to be. In the military, they call it dining in. If you go to a certain new base or something, you have what's called a dining in. And the general, of course, sits in the middle, and then his underlings sit along the side. So that's the idea here. But when he saw people jockeying for position, he says, look, and he told him a parable. Parable meaning a story that has a lesson. And here's the story. When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to him, give your place to this person. And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. A proverbial principle which we would do well to follow. Let's pray and ask the Lord's grace for us. Father, we want to try to understand Scripture, but we know without your Spirit, quite often our reading will be dull and our senses will not pick up what it is that you want to say. Through your Spirit, Lord, would you apply this to each of our hearts in our own individual life, where we jockey for positions of honor, and to be successful in terms of people looking to us. So Lord, may you show us true humility. May you show us ways that we can avoid shame, which stains your name. May you grant that to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. I've decided to, right at the beginning, to get us all on the same page. What is shame? Think about it. When was the last time you felt shame? Now, it's hard in our culture, in our society, to feel shame. There's nothing shameful now. The only thing that's shameful is intolerance. If you do not accept everything, then you have wronged. But I think we know, despite what the talking heads may say, that shame is a very profound problem with the human being. I'm having a series in communion on guilt, shame, and fear. These three things will twist our life into dryness and deadness. And it will destroy us and destroy and hurt people that care about us if we do not think biblically about guilt, and shame, and fear. Because we can only watch so many movies. We can only listen to so much music. We've got to go to sleep sometime, and we have to dream sometime. So what is shame? Shame is the painful feeling arising from the consciousness of something dishonorable or improper done by oneself or another. Example being, she or he was overcome with shame. When I read about the ISIS cutting the heads off of their captives, I think, what sort of people do they think we are? If this does not cause you shame, then you are dead. You're as bad as these other people who do that kind of thing. It's a shameful thing to isn't it? Isn't it shameful? Don't you agree? It's shameful to cut someone's head off in the front of the world. It's a shameful, shameful thing. How can God not destroy us all, burn us up, and be totally justified that his creation, the king of his creation, of his creative powers, that reflects his nature, that reflects who he is, to be treated in such a way? But I mean, I felt shame. I felt shame as a human being. I couldn't say, well, that's them and that's not me, but it is us in one sense. Hume was right, the psychologist that said we all have a common consciousness. I think he was correct on that one part. But we cannot separate ourselves from those things. And so I want you to imagine a wedding feast, and Jesus says, look, when you go to any situation, any social situation or otherwise, choose the lowest place. It's my park at the farthest away from the front door of the Walmart example. Deny yourself. See? That's what Jesus said. He that would be greatest among you, let him be the servant. Blessed are the sorrowful. Blessed are they that mourn. Now, if we don't want to do that, then we need to just get away from Christianity, because that's what our Lord and Master says to do. And communion reminds us that salvation is a grace gift. And in this service, of any service, should remind us of God's graciousness towards us. The Mars Hill Church, you ever heard of that one? Mark Driscoll, Acts 29 group. You see that on the internet sometime. Mark Driscoll was asked to step down last week or 2 weeks ago. He founded this organization. It's a wonderful thing. But he was asked to step down because 21 former pastors of these churches had confronted him because of his anger and his pride. And they recounted numerous situations that had happened. And Mark is a wonderful man of God, but he became proud. And he acted shamefully. And he had to apologize, and he stepped down from his position. You see, shame is that we've done something dishonorable or improper. And his was cursing and talking in a disreputable manner to people around them. And so he stepped down. Look at the Yiddish proverb. You know, the Yiddish are Ashkenazi Jews who lived in Europe for 800 years before the Nazis killed them. It says this: where there is no shame before others, there is no fear of God. A small God leads to small Christians. The natural tendency of our self is to think of ourselves first. If I don't think about myself, who will? Comes the question. Well, for believers, God will. And I would like for you to put this as a rule of thumb. Worry is an indication of how we view God. Worry is an indication of how we think about God and His fatherly care of us. Look at 1 John 2. I quote this in the outline. And now, little children, rest in Him, abide in Christ, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Christ. Why would we shrink away in shame from Christ that is coming? I pray the Lord would give myself and you as well a sense of shame. Because that sense of shame helps us to see that we need to repent or not continue to go that particular way. There's a famous story in Mark chapter 10, verse 40 to 45. James and John were jockeying for positions to sit on Jesus' right hand and His left hand at the kingdom. And they got their mother to go and talk to Jesus and said, "Listen, consider my sons when you come into your kingdom." And he says, and he's trying to teach wisdom for those who seek honor and self-esteem. Isn't that our natural flesh to want to be first? To want to be above the others. And Jesus said, to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those who it has been prepared. And when the other 10 disciples heard what James and John had done, they began to be indignant, probably because James and John got there first, is what happened, actually. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. We can see that all the time. Who's your chairman? Who's your leader? But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's in Mark chapter 10. What we have to aim at is not false humility, but to seek the lower price, the lower place. If you remember in Luke 18, the story of the Pharisee and the publican. And now the Pharisee says, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people, like this publican. But the publican, the one who was serving Rome, said, Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner. And the Lord said the publican went down justified and not the Pharisee. I listed some proverbs here for us to think about in the outline regarding ourselves and to avoid shameful self-promotion. In Luke 7 that I got John to be reading to us, it's a very practical parable. The servant comes in and rather than serving himself first, serves his master. And then he serves himself. And so I quote in the outline from Proverbs 18, before destruction a man's heart is hardy, but humility, that is self-denial, comes before honor. And let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. A great example of this is Acts chapter 10. If you remember that chapter, Peter is praying, and the Lord gives him a vision in which clean and unclean animals are brought down and presented to him. And an angel says, take and eat of these animals. And Peter says, no, these are unclean animals. And the angel says to him, Peter, do not call what God has created unclean. And he did this twice, just so this pious Jewish man would understand. And then Cornelius' servants came, and who were Gentiles, and called him. And when he talked with them, he went to Cornelius' house, which a Jew was not supposed to do, to go into a Gentile house, or even shake hands. But he went in after this vision in Acts chapter 10. And Peter said to these many persons that were gathered at Cornelius' house, he said, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean." You see, we are but unworthy servants. And one of the worst aspects of Christians can be pride and a sense of self-righteousness as we divide up among people based on whatever criteria we might choose. Proverbs 25, 6 and 7 puts its finger on it. "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to put lower in the presence of a noble." It is better to be told, "Come up here," rather than honor ourselves. This isn't moral preaching. It's just be careful when we put ourselves forward. It's the opposite of what Christ has called for us to do. He has called us to self-denial. Take the lowest seat. Because Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom." If we have to choose, we should take the lowest seat and deny ourselves. This is the very opposite of the culture we are living in. But think of the situations in your life or in this week that's coming or in the weeks that has passed where did we deny ourselves and take the path of humility? Yeah, we have to watch out for false humility. And I ask that by saying, what is the intent of our heart before we speak or before we do something? What is the intent of our heart? You see, God chooses the places of honor for us in the kingdom of God. And it's certainly true, we can be good at what we do without broadcasting it. It's true what the proverb says, "Let another praise you and not your own lips." Jesus told this parable to those who were honoring themselves. A feeling of shame is different from the guilt causing it. In other words, it's profitable to have shame without associating it with the guilt causing it. Christ sets us free from our guilt, but shame feelings will teach humility and repentance. It is possible to be free from guilt and still have the benefits of shame. Is there anything in our lives of which we are shamed for? That we don't want people to know? We can be full of shame to our prophet. And Christ calls us to be free from our guilt, and that's what we will be doing today. Because the guilt and the punishment has been taken by our Lord and Savior, Christ. But that doesn't mean that we are not to feel a proper shame for what we have done in our attitudes. So Christ sets us free from our guilt, but humility and repentance comes from a sense of that. And so I would like to ask you, as we take the bread and the cup this morning, we can do this not because we've been good this past week, but because Christ is good and He has given us His righteousness. And I say at the end here, at the end of the outline, as we take the bread and cup this morning, may we enter into the grace and victory of the cross and the resurrection of Christ. Because Christ has borne our shame. Because shame teaches humility. Shame teaches us to be patient with others and to say there, but for the grace of God, go on. Let's pray. Holy Father, I pray that You will give us a sense of our sin before You, and then a sense of the victory that is in Christ. That we will hide ourselves in Christ alone. Lord, may our righteousness be that which is given to us through Christ, and out of humility serve You. Father, I pray that You would protect our congregation and ourselves and myself from pride and arrogance and self-assurance that destroys any sense of Christ's Spirit within us. Lord, I pray that as we deal with people, that You will teach us this sense of brokenness, humility, that our lives may honor You first of all. Father, may we not do shameful things, but may we do those things that please You and honor You. Through Your grace, we will end up in saying, but we are but unworthy servants. Lord, may Your Spirit help us to see the truth of those things. We pray in Jesus. Amen.